Welcome back. We are the Video Store Junkies, and today we are bringing you another weekend recap. Did you watch anything this weekend?
So Shelly and I went, and like a bazillion other people, we went and saw Deadpool and Wolverine in the theater Thursday night. It had 211 million dollars, I think it brought in, which is the highest opening for a rated R film and something like the eighth highest opening of all time. It's super fun. I mean, it's exactly what you expect, exactly what you want. Very fan servicey, but you'd be disappointed if it wasn't fan servicey. You know, I'm not going to say any spoilers, but tons of cameos, tons of, you know, lots of fourth wall breaking, lots of, you know, a very salty language. Rated R, they're going to take full advantage of that. Very bloody, and definitely stick around to the end of the credits. But really fun. Like, I mean, even Shelly was laughing out loud during it, and she doesn't laugh out loud in the theaters. I was dying. The very opening to me was absolutely dying. So, and I was going in going, I'm okay. I wasn't very excited about it. I'm like, okay. I'm tired of the jokes, the same, you know, I'm kind of Ryan Reynolds out. And I'm just like, it was a blast. So yeah.
Nice.
So that was the main new thing I saw this weekend. How about you? I know you saw some movies because I saw them with you.
Yes, that's true. Although on Sunday, I watched a different movie, the one that we had already seen before. So I just watched it again because I felt like it. It's called They're Watching.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's super fun. It's kind of set up like a home improvement show where, you know, where you get those couples that are like, she's a potter and he's a floral arranger and they're looking for a home with a budget of $5 million, you know, like those kind of shows. But this woman is like looking for a house in Moldova. And yeah. And I think it's actually filmed in Romania, but that's fine. So she's looking for this house in Moldova. And of course she buys this like kind of horrible beat down house. And the crew comes back for a follow-up visit. I don't remember exactly how long it is, 6 months. Maybe it's not a very long amount of time. I think they were saying it's like 3 to 6 months just to go see how it was going. And I think she did a pretty good job. So, you know, you take that journey with her and the crew and what kind of happens as they are going over all the repairs and things that happened in the house, and also meeting the villagers, which has been a little bit awkward for her to fit in with everybody. So you kind of get a little bit of those interactions. Did you like it when we saw it before?
Yeah, I remember enjoying it. Don't remember a whole lot about it. Like, I remember it enough to go, hey, we saw this, and that the stuff you mentioned kind of like, you know, I remember it, but I don't remember like the specific details of it. I just remember kind of generally enjoying it though.
Yeah. I completely had forgotten the ending, which was good. for rewatching it. But the beginning is just so funny because it's just really set up like one of those home improvement shows. So yeah, I liked it. And it is actually on streaming right now. If anybody else wants to watch it, you can watch it on Roku, Plex, or of course Tubi.
Yay! Always Tubi.
Yeah, always Tubi. So we watched a movie this weekend, and I don't really even know how to explain it. It was on Netflix. It was called The Bridge Curse, and it was based on like an urban legend, you know, like Bloody Mary or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the kids have to do this little ritual, and there's a kid that's sitting on the bench. And they do their little ritual, and the kid has to like walk up the stairs. And allegedly, if you have summoned this bridge curse lady, you'll get like an extra step, but you can't turn around because if you turn around, she'll get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was good. I felt like I liked where they were going with it. It was just a little bit difficult to follow sometimes.
I think it was intentionally. Not to give anything away on it, right? But it's I think it's one that would bear rewatching. So it's that kind of thing. Because there's some intentional. It's intentionally confusing, I think, at points. And it was based on an actual legend. I always feared weird saying that, but yeah, it's based on an actual legend about some bridge on a campus somewhere.
Ooh.
But yeah, I liked it. I think Shelley didn't care for it as much. I think she didn't enjoy the intentional confusing aspect of it.
Oh, sure.
Again, it's one of those ones that might be real worth watching going, oh, that's what I missed. Or, ooh, that was the clue there that I should have picked up. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty creepy too. I thought it was had some nice creepy aspects to it. So
yeah, I definitely agree.
And I look forward to seeing the next one, which I think is technically, didn't we say it was like a prequel?
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere that it's supposed to be a prequel. I think kind of works when you get into that whole like urban legend territory. I think that's one of maybe a few cases where you can kind of get away with that.
Yeah,
assuming you execute it well.
I think it'll be interesting to catch. I like I said, I think it's one of the nice things about Netflix is that it does have a lot of foreign films that you're not going to catch, like that you hadn't like heard of, or that you just normally wouldn't run into. I mean, that's why we ran into the Doll series, are they Indonesian? I think so.
Yeah.
And actually those actually turned, you know, we got them just cause, oh, it's a haunted doll movie. Ha ha ha. And there's like, oh fuck, this is brutal. And it was, Rocky Sororia is the, director. And we've learned if you're watching a Rocky Sororia film, either he's directing or producing it, it's going to be, you're strap in.
Yeah, Rocky will not hesitate to kill anyone, which I really respect.
And brutal. The other week we watched, what was it? The Haunted Hotel. And we watched that. Did we already talk about that one? I can't remember if we already talked about that. Yeah, I think he was just the producer on it, but holy crap, it had his fingerprints all over it. Because all of a sudden you're like, oh my God. You know, your jaw just kind of drops.
Yes.
So.
Oh, so good.
See, we never would have run into those without Netflix, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, Netflix. It has great movies, right? But then, like some great originals and stuff. But then it also has like original dating shows like Perfect Match or Love is Blind. You know, these like just awful guilty pleasure type shows. I do not recommend that people watch them, but they're just it really balances things out. So as usual, I cannot remember the second movie that we watched.
I know what the second movie we watched was. it's my fault. Christopher, my oldest, got me for Christmas one of these, not for Christmas, for my, what do you get it for, Father's Day, one of these collections like 60 movies on, you know, on 12 DVDs or something. I forget what it was. And so we picked one at random, and it was The Amazing Transparent Man from, I think, like 1958. And part of the reason we decided to watch it was because it's only 58 minutes long. And it was amazing. All right.
That was great. Yeah, that was really, you know, it's good. It's good to watch movies like that because you can, you know, you get some appreciation for things, but oh my gosh, they're so funny sometimes.
It's yeah, 1960, and
wow,
yeah. But what I think what we appreciate in this one was even if like for the 1960s, like all the characters were like in their like 40s, like it wasn't like teenagers. It was like the gangster that had broken out of jail was in his 40s, and the mad scientist was older, but like the evil. I don't know, it was like a former military guy, but now was like a spy, or I don't know what the hell his motivations were. And then, you know, the woman who works for him, and it was, it's like an Invisible Man movie, but it's special. It's only 58 minutes, so, you know, you can't go wrong with that.
No. it's a good 58 minutes.
yeah, that's a good description of it.
Yeah, so the third movie that we watched, we were looking for another short movie, and Shelley ended up finding one that was an anthology. And it ended up being so much better than I think maybe any of us expected.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. So we're watching it and we're on Discord and I'm at my house. And of course, Shelley and Paul are at their house. And Eric Roberts pops up on the screen and I go, oh. And then all of a sudden I hear a delayed, oh. And I knew at that moment, like, both of you were looking at something else.
And yes. You both just
looked up at the screen when I said, oh. Oh, my gosh. So that was a surprise. And then I don't remember. He came first. He was in one of the first segments. And then Joe Estevez popped up. And it was like, what is this magic? Oh. And then so it brought up the great debate. As if you would like to explain to people.
Yes. Well, my stepfather, Bruce, it was the Eric Roberts theory. It was basically, if you see Eric Roberts in the film with an actor you recognize, you know it's going to be a really good film. If you see Eric Roberts in a film and he's the only person you recognize, you know it's going to be crap. And it's like, yeah, but what if the person you recognize is Joe Estevez?
Yeah. What do you and do then?
Right. And then who shows up after Joe Estevez in like the next segment? Sally Struthers.
Oh, God, that's right. Sally Struthers.
Yeah.
I honestly thought she did a really good job.
It was good. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was fun. It was effective. And it was only 56 minutes. So, you know, that was again.
There you go. Well, we just talked about the movie that we watched with Eric Roberts in it, and I was looking at his IMDb. Okay, now don't cheat.
Okay.
How many credits, acting credits, do you think that Mr. Roberts has?
Oh, God. The man doesn't seem to turn anything down, which is not a fault on him. I think it's great. And by all counts, he's actually an absolutely lovely human being. A friend of ours actually did a short film that he was in and got to meet him and said he is absolutely Dinah B is also she's one of the sweetest people in the world. And she's done some movies with us. And she was in a movie where she was like an extra or something with it. And she said he was just the most gracious, friendly, really friendly. And he's like, oh, you want to take a selfie? And he's just like, hey, come on, let's, you know? So yeah, he's apparently a really sweet person, but anyway, it's got to be over 200 films. I'm going to say 240.
Eric Roberts has 828 acting credits.
Holy crap.
92 of them are upcoming in the next 2024, 2025. Holy cow. Are in some state of production. Yeah.
The man's a machine.
So I was thinking that at some point we need to do an Eric Roberts retrospective and recommend some Eric Roberts movies.
I'm taking a look at his whole. Oh, look at this. Kung Fu Slayers, Haunted Happy Hour, 7 Days to Hell.
There's some great titles in there.
So he's actually in some things I've heard before.
It's true.
Rice Girl, My Redneck Neighbor 2.
Okay. Yeah. So that is our weekend wrap up. And please stay tuned for our upcoming episode on Eric Roberts.
I think we get a whole Eric Roberts podcast. Think of if we did one movie a week, you know.
Oh, just one Eric Roberts podcast. What is that? At least over 10 years. Yeah. Over 10 years worth of episodes. Oh, God.
That works for me.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, that's all we've got.